Lime, duh.
Yeah. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, bro. The podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host, with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dave Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Black Gamora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling, a.k.a. Shut Your Hole! Where am I at? The modern day! From the time I went to Italy!
Being prepared for a night she'll never forget!
Thanks for nothing. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.
AKA the modern day goof. Raja! Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba, wee, yeah. This girl, she is mine, and damn, she's fine. What's up, Jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy wrestling reactions. Man, I'm here in studio with the First Lady, Erin Finnerty.
What up?
And that's it. Not that that's not enough, but Anosh apparently has bailed on us fully.
Absent.
The engineer.
Missing in action.
And Newman is sick.
Thrown up the X.
And I am again controlling the sound. We have truly lost all of the stability.
It's the apocalypse. I should've known better, the cowpocalypse.
But we're still ready. I'm always ready to rock.
Yeah.
I'm dealing. Whoa, look at this! But I'm learning about the tech. It's a beautiful thing. We take you behind the scenes here, just
yes.
Like WWE. And we're in the back hallway right now.
Mm-hmm.
The 24/7 titles on the line,
being chased for it.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing real good. How are you today?
Good. I'm very, very busy.
I can tell.
Extremely busy right now.
Yeah, not me.
Getting to record this podcast today. I mean, you know, it almost didn't happen. Let's be frank. It almost didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're a little later than usual, but we did make it happen.
Because it has to happen. It needs to happen. The people need it. Many, many people, a tremendous amount of people.
The
depend
people.
On this. Erin can't hear the sound road right now.
Only it's a mystery to me. I'll find out when you guys do.
But this was a week specifically. I was like, you know what? Maybe we'll record it later. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll figure it out. Whatever, because the timing was all screwed up. I'm relying on Anosh, the Canadian nightmare, the Canadian destroyer, the man who barely deserves a paycheck. Anosh McAdam, the guy's a joke. A heel turn, a tremendous heel turn.
He vanished. He's the Brock Lesnar of
Universe. He is. But anyway, the week in wrestling was so good, is the point.
Yeah.
It was such a spicy week, so much fire, so much muy caliente, sriracha, tapatio, whatever your preference.
Uh-huh.
What's your preference of hot sauce, Erin?
I like the Trader Joe's Green Dragon.
Wow, the Green
Dragon.
Yeah,
it's really good, dude.
not one of the hits, but...
I like a plain old sriracha with the rooster on the bottle as well. If
sriracha,
I want to get spicy.
I feel like everyone gets sick of sriracha. There's something about sriracha where it's like you do like a year where you're like, I'm Donnie Sriracha. And then you become like Donnie Tapatio or something.
Yeah.
Or you become a, you know.
Green
anyway.
Dragon.
So, look, we got to talk about. I'm just saying, it was touch and go there for a while.
Yeah, it was touch and go, but we're here, people.
I want to say, you know, to dip into the cow lifestyle a little bit of this.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm working a tremendous amount of hours.
Many hours.
But I'm still getting my wrestling in. Still getting my shit in.
How many hours?
The full. So Raw, SmackDown, and a lot of the G1.
Yeah.
And hit the gym this morning. Every morning.
Yeah.
7 a.m., 8 a.m., whatever I got to do.
Yeah.
Crush it. Deadlift it. You guys, I'm saying you could do it. Do it.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf.
I love Shia LaBeouf.
So he had that thing where he was like, just do it.
Yeah.
That rocked. There's no point to that except for that. I saw him the other day at.
You saw him again?
No.
Okay.
The same time I mentioned.
Same time.
That same time. But I saw him and I felt inspiration.
Really?
I was like, this guy, because there's such a power in like just screaming like, fucking go for it.
Yeah.
But not in a Tony Robbins way.
Right.
Like, he doesn't make money off it.
No,
he just is he just means like, it. He's just like, yo, I don't like it. It hurts me. Tony Robbins is a wrestler. Anyone who's a wrestling fan knows, you know, don't be getting Tony Robbins.
Right. Don't get Tony Robbins.
Am I wrong?
No,
you're
not
a wrestling fan. You know, that's a work.
Yeah. It is a work.
Right.
I heard that he's kind of a dickhead. I think IRL.
You think? I mean, come on. Whatever. But when somebody like has, there's not that much in it for them to just be like, fucking follow your dreams.
Don't get LaBeouf, not Robbins.
I love that. So yeah, what'd you think of Raw and SmackDown this week?
I thought they were pretty agreeable this week. I think they stepped things up from last week.
I mean,
which was a bit of a snoozer.
Last week was the reunion show,
yeah,
right?
The Raw union.
I absolutely did not adore that.
No, except for the last 30 seconds.
Just Stone Cold?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, when
Stone Cold replayed.
They replayed, and not only did they replay it, they showed it, just him just being like, I went up to my room, I got a hot dog, what? Yeah. Got a hamburger, what?
Yeah. Right.
And he's like, I went up to my room. Stone Cold's not here in studio today, so this is just me doing my impression of him.
Impression of Stone Cold, who sometimes comes.
We actually have Stone Cold here.
Yeah.
And it's like, he literally was like, I got grilled cheese, what? It was literally that. And the point of the story was, then I realized, he's like, I had a Coca-Cola, what? Uh-huh. I was like, then I realized I wasn't done yet with the night. So I opened the door, and then, gosh damn it, there he is, Ron Simmons. And then I said, damn! Yeah. That was the end of the story.
Yeah, that was the end of the story. And it got a big laugh.
Yeah, because the guy reeks of charisma. The guy could bottle charisma and I'd wear it.
He doesn't even have to open his mouth. He just has to catch a can.
It would be a can of charisma, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's what he sells, right? It's his beer is essentially...
Can of charisma.
There's a glass shatter. All right. So anyway, this week... Cool. So I'll point out some... I thought it was a great week in wrestling. I mean...
Oh, look, shit. Did you ring the bell?
No. Where is the bell?
I got to grab it.
Do you see it?
Yeah, it's right here.
Oh. Well, we didn't kick it off. I'll ring the bell.
Sorry,
right here,
folks. We needed the authentic bell.
There's no point in that bell anymore. Yeah. Yeah, now I have a real bell. Unbelievable. Tremendous. One of the best
official
bells.
Cowbell.
So anyway, the thing about the show this week, I think that was for me, the thing I liked the most is, first of all, there was a lot of great wrestling, and then there was a lot of like cool backstage work.
Right.
In a way that didn't feel at all like the classic boring like, you have a conversation that the cameras happen to catch where they're cheating out the camera
perfectly,
and they're like clearly waiting for the light to turn on to start talking, or they're like just fake on the phone.
Yeah,
it's not a lot of shit like that. It had a lot of like, oh well, they just happen to catch a fight in this hallway, or it felt like what these characters would actually do when they're in the back,
right? Like running into each other and having a chat.
It felt like a TV show. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had literally like the Cedric Alexander shot. Like they played with the angles like a TV show where it was like, oh my God, he's up there. Like they did a reveal
that
he was on the top of the Titantron. He's in a place like just climbing it. Not everything is just, you know, it was cool. It was like, oh, that's a reveal. Then they had they ended SmackDown on the Roman Reigns like mystery.
Yeah.
Who tipped over the thing? It's probably Samoa Joe. I mean, it's probably not, right?
Because Samoa Joe. I couldn't tell you. I think people were saying Braun Strowman, but I don't know about that.
And I thought like Shane. Like he was like, oh, my life coach.
Oh, his selfie video. I love that.
he felt like more three-dimensional. It was like, oh, okay, I get it. He's like a rich guy with his power. He's like power hungry or whatever. Like, it started to form a little bit more for me.
Right. I think the life coach thing was so funny.
It made me really laugh.
And I think it does make it seem like he's like a rich guy with a lot of disposable income.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think I was trying to bring up this clip, but obviously the internet here is not working. Why would the internet work today? I mean, I don't have Anosh.
No.
I don't have Newman.
No.
Why would I have the internet? Why would I have any basic function here?
I have no idea.
It's unbelievable. Thank God for Erin. She shows up.
I show up, folks.
She shows up on times. Say what you will about her attitude.
say what you will.
Say what you will. Cool. By the way, you can support the show at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Support what we do. We need to support more than ever. Apparently, we got idiots dropping like flies.
It's like
here.
Lord of the Flies up in here.
No, Newman's legitimately sick, so we do wish him well. But patreon.com, we're going to talk on there. We're going to talk about the G1 a little bit. We're going to talk about three specific matches from the G1, our thoughts on that. We had Justin Barnes, Jabroniak, Justin Barnes.
From Orange County.
From Orange County. We had him weighing in on, I was like, yo, tell me what are the top G1 matches. I want to catch up. I've said this before with New Japan. Yeah. Is that I can't catch the rhythm.
I can't.
Thank
God for Justin Barnes.
I'm saying I'm a New Japan World subscriber.
Yeah.
I pay them just out of principle.
Right.
It's part of your Patreon dollars. Go towards that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be told what to watch by an American, I guess, is what
I
it is.
Totally agree. I went to their website.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I could sign up on a trial and watch a little bit, but the website, even when I thought I was on the English website, but then I was asked if I wanted to click over to the English website, and it's looked identical, and it was a little tricky to navigate. So I watched some like clandestine stream deep on the internet, and that's how I found it. So I haven't even really tried to catch the rhythm of it, but I can see how it'd be challenging.
It is challenging. It's not great. They got like people. Every time I talk to someone, they're like, "You got to get a Google Chrome, get yourself a Chrome, plug it into the TV." They got an app, but it's not an app. It's something else. Blah blah blah. Listen, I watch it on the website. I watch it on my iPad, and that's fine. But I don't know even what to watch. Like, there's they got so many matches. Every match is a 6-man tag. That's something like that.
Right.
But that being said, like, they're doing amazing work over there, and I've said this before, like, when I see Okada feels more important than almost any WWE superstar to me, just from, like, his, I think some of that is probably just, cultural, when I'm like, oh my God, he's like the champion
revered
in the East.
Yeah, he's like revered by all these people. And
because like Shinsuke came over, and then now we take Shinsuke for granted.
We really do.
But
yeah.
For a time, it was like everyone was like, oh my God, when Shinsuke, he's Michael Jackson meets, I don't know what they would say, but I would always say, then I would watch all his matches and be like, that was fine. That was just fine.
Yeah, just fine.
Hot. That's a hot take, but he's always been just fine. He's got a cool something to him, but
yeah,
I think he's had enough opportunities to kind of really show.
Something just doesn't click. I remember before I got like deep back into wrestling, my friend who was like my wrestling guru and like kind of guided me back in. Well, he said that I was asking him like, who are your guys? Yeah. And he said, Kenny Omega, this Canadian wrestler, wrestles in Japan. And he said his favorite wrestler was Shinsuke. So I was really juiced up when he came to WWE. And then I was ultimately disappointed.
Juiced up. It's very LA of you.
Yeah, really juiced up. Green juiced
it's
up.
Green juiced up.
Uh-huh.
all juice in LA hurts. You notice that? It's all like spicy. Like they all have to like kill your nose or something.
And like burns your
Someone's
throat.
Like, try this. And then it just, my nose hurts.
Yeah. Too much ginger.
Yeah. Wait, what were you saying? I got derailed by this.
Shinsuke and juice.
Robinson. Shinsuke. Both of these, they'll both burn you.
Well, New Japan's website is burning
it's trash. It's bad. It's bad. But their product is incredible, and there's a lot of great
and
things about it.
And the talent is fantastic.
And the talent is great, and the show, and we'll talk about those matches. But
on Patreon.
I feel like, here's the deal. I've noticed this, the trend, for many, many people, is that a lot of people now are watching. My New Japan friends don't watch WWE.
Yeah.
I
believe
there's
that.
Not a lot of people. I don't think there's a lot of people. If you watch New Japan, most of the time your attitude is like, what's the point in WWE?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Now, I see a tremendous point in WWE. I'm a major WWE mark.
Of course.
We know that. But I also think that this podcast has to start covering a little bit of the New Japan work.
Yeah, we got to diversify.
So that's why I've reached out to some jabroniacs who are in that new. I'm not pretending that all of a sudden I'm like, you know, I'm just going to watch it all, because I can't. I'm not even sure. With New Japan, it's like, I know to watch Wrestle Kingdom. That is it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, then I'm like, oh, it's Dominion. That's their SummerSlam. I've right. gotten that. I'll watch that. But then in between, I'm like, wait, Jay White's the champ? What? What? That's yeah. what it is. So I don't know. So I'm leveraging some of the great jabroniacs, the tremendous, this community. I mean,
it's
we got
fantastic.
An amazing community.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, NXT, I watch NXT. I've said that before. NXT is kind of like my relaxation show.
I
like
love what we that. Do,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Where I watch it Wednesday. I'll watch it on like Friday, Saturday, uh-huh. something like that. And then by the time we record, I forgot it.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And we record the night the new web's on. So that's kind of like... And also, I'm always like, oh, it's these guys come up to two of the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of this beauty in not covering it for me.
Yeah.
But I do think there's starting to be guys like Gargano, who I'm not sure he's going to come up even.
Right, right.
I'm not sure that's even... if I'm him, I might stay down there.
It's like folks staying in NJPW or whatever.
Right.
I get it.
And then with AEW starting,
mm-hmm.
My thing is that what I want to do on the pod is I want to start making it where when AEW kicks in,
okay.
we're going to be like, hey, we're not just following Raw, we're not just following SmackDown, we're going to cover that
yeah.
if they deserve it, but we have to figure out how to help you. My goal is to help you be like, hey, here's what you got to check out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that's a really good plan.
Turning our back on WWE.
Never turn your back on WWE.
Because don't sleep on the talent over there.
No, even in lull times. Don't turn your back on WWE.
So whatever, that's just a little behind the scenes here. You know, see your fourth wall. I don't think I have that drop anymore. I do have it. No, that was no more Mr. Nice Jew. That was not appropriate. But that's kind of where we're... I think that's where we're going to be headed when AEW kicks in.
State of the podcast.
Wrestling is changing. The podcast has to change.
It will.
And I'll have a more formal announcement. Hold on. Mount Rushmore. if we're getting political here, here's a political statement.
Mount Rushmore.
We gotta figure that out. So
yeah.
It's gonna be so great. So we're gonna start that today on the Patreon. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. We're covering the best 3 G1 matches that were recommended to us by a reputable source,
yes.
Justin Barnes, who's a New Japan guy. Now, yeah. What do you think? Like, all right. So when we get to AEW season,
okay,
right?
Uh-huh.
We're gonna have 2 hours on Wednesday.
Yes.
We're gonna. I talk about this every weekend.
I know.
It's just like, so we have with NXT 6 hours of WWE programming.
Six of WWE.
That's completely skipping 205 Live, which might be getting Daniel Bryan, which then makes it a show I have to watch.
So you have 7 hours.
I'm not gonna like skip Daniel Bryan's 205 Live. He'll probably be the champion for the rest of his career if he's there.
That's how 205 turns it around, I think.
If they put, I think it's a genius move, but they could still have him dip up.
Of course.
God, did you see the sweater he was wearing this week?
He was wearing a knit, the most hippie sweater. Was it like a cardigan?
No, it's like one of those ones that like only heroin addicts wear.
Oh, yeah, street junkies.
It was found
in the trash.
Yeah, but it was like, looks like chainmail, but it's a sweater.
A very loose knit.
Yes,
a very loose knit.
Almost like they don't want to waste any fabric from the earth.
The
holes are as big as they can be while still keeping you warm.
Like an old fisherman would be seen wearing it.
Fishnet sweater / chainmail S&M Seattle gutter punk.
Made of polyester cotton.
Yeah. So if Daniel Bryan's at 205 Live, then I got to watch 205 Live.
Yeah. I know. So that's bringing your total up to 9 hours, right?
Well, plus pay-per-views.
I mean, we're getting into the higher numbers here.
Yeah. So I'm saying,
I'm doing a tally.
Yeah.
7 hours. Well, 9 hours including AEW.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's what do you, I don't even know what to do.
I know.
I'm the host of this podcast. I don't know what to do.
I mean, we got to really look in the mirror here,
that's
folks.
That's like essentially, so how many hours do we land on?
If you include AEW, that's going to be 9 hours a week.
Okay.
And that stretches all the way from Monday through Friday.
Over an hour a day.
Uh-huh.
So that means that wrestling is where at a time it was just Raw. You just watch Monday Night Raw. Every Monday night I watch two hours.
You go ahead and you skip Tuesday, now, SmackDown.
Watching Raw is the equivalent of taking a long shower every night. Yeah. Watching wrestling is a long shower. Uh-huh. Wait, now, what's an activity you do every day that takes it out? I mean, it's like getting sleep.
Right.
It's like watching the news.
Right.
Chicken, like,
eating food.
Which, by the way, it's great. You think about the talent that's going to come up.
Yeah.
I mean, we already have it. It's unbelievable. But now you're really going to have to compete for eyes. Whereas before, it was like, you're on Raw. You're going to get a look.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Anyway, so let's go. So let's talk about what something from this week. Which
all right,
is,
let's do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just when I thought I was out, they bring me back in. And that is what I'm saying about Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Brock Lesnar, by the way, I mean, I'm a, hold on, let's get a song going just so you can hear it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can
Brock, hear. Brock Lesnar, Brock. Brock. If you notice this, he gets hip hop.
Yeah.
Hip hop. You know, he's like the least hip hop guy. His song is like wiki wikis.
There's no one more
less
hip hop.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar, the least wiki wiki man, has the most wiki wiki song. So Brock Lesnar, I mean, the thing is like, no one is better than Brock Lesnar at being like the ultimate destroyer.
Yeah.
Like the beast.
He's
and
the beast.
Everyone, people try to replicate it, including Strowman.
Yeah.
And
obvious.
No one can do it.
No. I mean,
like, because he exists.
Right.
There can only be one.
Like the Highlander.
Right, yeah. He is like a Highlander. Right, like Brock existing is a problematic for like a Strowman type.
Well, I think Brock is like especially scary because he really has no.
Not Strowman, more like Joe.
Right. But even Joe has like a little bit of a personality. Mm-hmm. Like Brock's only personality is that he wants to like fuck you up and hurt you.
Right.
You know,
but
like.
But it is genuine. That's what makes him so great is that you really like, I really think like every time he shows up, he just is like, all right, like I'm just going to. Like, put all these fucking idiots on notice, show them that they're suck compared to me still, and then I'm gonna go away for 4 weeks.
Right. Catch you later.
Yeah. But, like, this week he was. I love the thing about Brock is that he is the. He's so good. He's such a perfect, like, work shoot wrestler because he, like, you can see when he cares.
Which, yeah.
Like, this week he was into it.
I think he into the Rollins segment.
Yeah,
he was.
He was like flexing. He was like trying to show everybody that he looks jacked.
Right.
Some weeks he's like fat Brock. Like he didn't even do a push up.
He's trying to roll out of there and go home.
Like he didn't try to get the blood flowing at all.
Didn't
in the back.
Get a pump in before he came out. No.
This time he was flexing his lats. I noticed he was. Well, you know what I mean? He was really lat flexing, and so anyway, Brock like when you like Brock. When Brock like is just like he can stop an ambulance just by pointing at the driver.
Right. That's scary.
He's like that scary, and like you can't. You just can't. The guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a beast.
So where do we go with? So anyway, I mean the spots. Kudos to Rollins for taking all those spots.
Yeah,
he really got beat up.
I know. I love the sounds that he was making before. I mean, during and after the beating were.
You know
that viral video of the lady like stomping grapes with her feet and then
she falls off
it was the
platform?
Same sounds.
Yeah. That was similar. I did notice that. It's like, oh, these sounds are like, oh, I'm actually really hurt sounds.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been that hurt before, so I don't know, but.
No, I mean.
It sounded pretty
either.
Legit.
I mean, impenetrable force and object. I've never been hurt.
Can you smell know what the Rossi is kicking.
All right, there we go. You heard it here second. I don't know what those are going to sound like. But anyway, so, yeah, I mean, it's just Brock, he's the champ. Like, I don't even remember. He's Brock. But, like, I don't know. Did Seth Rollins beat him at SummerSlam?
He still got the stupid Beast Slayer.
He still called the Beast Slayer since April.
Right. Never got rid of it. Still has it, even though the Beast, like, re-slayed him. Gun to the head, I would say that he doesn't. I mean, it seems kind of silly to just go back to the same story they were telling before Brock won the title back. But it's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine they give Seth the title back.
Because if Brock keeps the title, then there's more opportunity for people, other people you'd like to see have the championship do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Strowman, maybe, or...
Yeah. WWE, the truth is, they really... The problem they have right now is like who is championship material? Like,
fuck, I don't know.
That's the weird thing is that because like it's hard to say.
But like, couldn't anyone be championship material if they just got like the opportunity?
Yeah,
like,
no, absolutely. Because like,
even Sami Zayn or someone have a run at it. Like, it would be great to see it.
Well, look at Kofi, right?
Yeah.
So. I say it every week. I really love what they're doing with Kofi. I think it's fucking awesome.
Yes.
Who did he pin this week? Someone big. AJ? Yeah, I think AJ, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, AJ jumped and then AJ, he gave him the Trouble in Paradise.
Yeah,
which, by the way,
yeah.
Great finish. I really am into it.
Yeah.
He does it out of nowhere.
It looks great.
He's very good at doing it.
And it works, too.
That's the beauty of finishes is like when it feels like, oh, you're real good at it.
Right.
Like the stunner, it's like... Kevin Owens, I don't buy it. It's like, does it...
Because it's not his.
No, it's not his...
He's too short.
Is he? Is that why you think?
I believe so. I think it's because there's not enough like clearance between him and the ground for it to be. Yeah, you can't put enough like English on it when he delivers
really?
The stunner.
That's interesting theory. I love breaking down the sports science of the stunner.
Yeah,
it doesn't. And I actually think his belly is a problem.
Oh, interesting.
Like, so
that's interesting too.
When he goes down to when he's given a stunner, like his.
Tummy gets in the way, kind of.
Yeah, there's like a big, right? Like he's sitting. It's not a flattering position for him to land on his butt.
No, you know totally, totally. So, but Shane knows how to sell a stunner, so that part looks pretty good. But
yes,
the delivery is not great.
This
too
is
short.
Truly
too
hilarious
short.
That my computer's not working.
Cool.
The internet is working, but the computer's going slow as shit. All right, yeah, but I'm digging. I really like that they're like saying this is our champion, and they're making him look good. He's pinned everybody,
right?
At this point, he's really pinned everybody. I'm saying it, but again, when I'm watching Okada in these matches, I'm like, that's the champ. Like that feels like a champ.
Right.
Same way that Brock Lesnar feels like the champ.
Right. What is it? There's a certain.
You just have to feel better. You have to feel better.
Yeah.
You know, like Kofi is. It's like an underdog story. It's really hard to have the title when you have the underdog story because then it's like all of a sudden now you're really strong. I like that they're doing it. I'm into it. Like the Kofi Orton match is probably the match I'm the most excited for.
I really
on
liked
the SummerSlam card
the,
for somehow.
I really liked the inside the mind of
Randy,
the Apex Predator. Yeah,
when he was like, "I'm responsible for that."
Yeah. I really like that
Randy
they
Orton
dug that
guy.
Angle out.
He feels like a champion. See, that's the thing about Randy Orton. Like, it's like we're in this age right now of the indie star, and we're in this age right now, and so now we're fully there. We're fully arrived at, like, all these guys that you guys wanted to see in WWE, they're all there. And they're all getting what, not every one of them, but a lot of them are getting the treatment that you, you know who I'm talking about when I say you. You wanted them
right.
to get.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that there is a thing. Size matters.
Yeah. Jackness matters.
Jackness matters. It matters. Like, yeah. Your presence matters. Like, when you
right,
walk
your presence.
Because I think that's like, it always stops me from being like 100% in on Kevin Owens. Like, there is a thing. Like, I love Kevin Owens. He's as talented as he gets.
Very,
and he might be the exception
good.
To the rule.
Sure.
Because he has the everyman quality.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy like Adam Cole is like, as jacked as that he can get.
He's hot as fuck.
Yeah, but he's small.
I like small.
And he's jacked. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, but you're talking about banging these guys.
Yeah, true.
Aaron, I mean, God
what?
Damn it.
Disagree with me. Adam Cole's fine as fuck.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. Uh-huh. No, he's fine as fuck. He's a hot guy. His eyes glisten like eyes do. But, so there's two elements to this. Which
yes.
is like, there's a reason, I think, that Shawn Michaels is sometimes, like, left off people's lists.
Oh,
you know
uh-huh.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of it is size.
Yeah,
he
I hear
has
you.
The best, he has the best... I am a body guy, so that's the thing. I am a self-described body guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love bodies. I love a
jacked-up
man.
Dudes.
It's beautiful. I love
gorgeous
it.
Gorgeous guys.
And so are you, because Batista's a movie star.
Yeah.
Like, we all do. But I'm saying... I'm also willing to recognize the talent of guys like Gargano and whatnot.
Of course.
But there is a thing. Forget Gargano. We're talking about Seth Rollins.
Right.
Who's really as good as it gets in pro wrestling. I mean, a tremendous sport. But he struggles to be over without the Edge style gimmick.
Yeah.
Now, not over in the sense that, like, we cheer for him. Like,
of course.
We're like, yeah,
burn
we
it
love
down.
Seth. But we're talking about that feeling where you're like, fuck yeah.
That air of importance that, like, these guys
right.
like Orton and Lesnar and Okada have. I hear you.
Right. Because, and some of that comes from story, too. It's not always about size. Size doesn't help. There's always room to project up guys. Like, the Daniel Bryan story is the story that all these other guys are essentially trying to do,
mm-hmm.
which we can't, like, keep replicating. Like, we can't be like, he's small, but a great professional wrestler.
Right.
How many times can we do that without people, and people, I mean, the casual fan popping in and just being like, or forget about the casual fan. With the casual fan not watching.
Right.
Like, ratings, I read an article, I didn't read it, I saw a headline. You guys know I'm not a sheets guy.
No.
I don't care about the sheets. I don't really care about ratings either, but we have to talk about it where it's like the ratings when Seth and Kofi were champions were extremely like bad.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, and I'm saying a guy like Shawn's left off the list, but then that whole Mount Rushmore are pretty big guys, although I don't know how big Flair is.
Mount
I think
Rushmore?
He's pretty big though.
Yeah. Well, I think his presence is large.
Yeah. Well, he's a mic guy. But
right.
So I guess what I'm saying is that the pure work rate guy is in trouble.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that your forecast for the future as well?
I think so. I think that sheen is like gone.
Yeah.
And now everyone's like, when John Cena left, because mm-hmm. John Cena was there and he was the guy who could put over the indie guy.
Yep.
Right? Kevin Owens rode that. Kevin Owens is a good example, but not the best example, because I believe with his mic skills and his personality and charisma, he could get over anyway. He's a really unique guy. He's a tremendous. He's got like a punk style to him. But he's more of a CM Punk mold, which there's always room for.
Right.
There's always room for a guy like Punk who's great on the microphone.
Mouthing
a complete
off.
Asshole.
Right.
Like, has like so much attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like the Miz camp, really, in a way.
The Miz camp. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like that camp where it's like just, it's Mike skills. But just saying Mike is not totally it. But like a guy like, there's no place for like Bobby Roode, I don't think.
Oof. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I know.
We're
it's hard to carve one out. Oh, at the top? No, I don't think so. I mean, it's hard for a lot of guys, I think, to find something that works for them that could put them at the top.
Right.
Like Kofi did, you know?
Yeah.
And I think someone like Braun Strowman or these other guys, but I hear
but I'm
you.
I'm not talking about moments, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm actually talking about like true like staying power. Like they're trying to make Seth Rollins like the face of WWE, and I'm all for it. I've said it on here a million times that like I want it.
But then
when it happens, it's like, I don't know if I can sell this guy to like the universe, the world.
Right, the Today Show test.
I
think it's hard because he was great when he was like evil. Like
the edge gimmick.
Yeah.
When you're like an edge where it's like, we get it, you're a little smaller than you should be.
Yeah.
But you're great at wrestling.
Right.
So it's like, we'll give you a little bit of a weasel twinge.
Yeah, the weasel twinge really works.
Right.
But he just doesn't seem as like... He's not very scary, and so he doesn't have that Lesnar factor.
Right.
And I also, but he also, I don't think he has the like friend, like the warm kind of John Cena factor either. No. So I think it's hard for him to kind of.
Here's what I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm figuring this out on air.
Yeah.
I feel like your gimmick can't be that you love this business.
Yeah.
Your gimmick can't be that like you. That's not even Edge had that gimmick and it didn't. He had to get rid of that and start like having sex shows on TV.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Your gimmick can't be like, yo, I just love doing the thing.
Yeah. Cena's gimmick is like, I love America.
John Cena's gimmick is like, his gimmick is like,
love
chase,
yourself.
Like, and it's like hustle. His gimmick is hustle loyalty, respect. And he lives it. And unapologetically, he doesn't care what you say about his hair. He's like, don't give up. Never surrender.
What a great
guy. Keep going till they like you. This. Every other wrestler is like, yo, my gimmick is I dress like Iron Man when I come to the ring.
Right, because
I love this business. And it's cool in this business to like pretend I'm something else. I'm anti-cosplay for wrestlers. I've put my foot down on the cosplay. Even for Dream.
Oh, gotcha.
Especially for Dream.
It's got to be something unique.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Fuck, being good at this business is so difficult.
I'm sure.
But your gimmick can't be it. You love it. See, like a guy like Matt Riddle is in good shape, I think, in a good spot.
Oh, sure.
Because he has like a story where it's like he's a family man who was a legit MMA fighter.
Right.
And then because of a personality trait, which is like he's chill weed bro. He like had to leave there. Like he has so much story to him.
Yeah.
To come over. And he just looks like the man. He looks
and
cool.
He looks like one of a kind.
But
like there's
even
no one
juice
else.
Juice up a little.
Yeah.
Oh. He's huge.
He's pure muscle.
I know.
Pure muscle.
I know.
Wild.
This is a tough
biz. But he could
biz.
Be bigger.
This is a tough biz.
You want
well,
to scale him up.
He wants to retire Brock, right? That's like his whole thing.
I love that idea.
Could he believably retire Brock? Like, I guess without the factoring in age.
Believably retire Brock? I'd say yes. I think I could see it. I think.
How old's Brock? Like 42 at this point?
I don't know. Should I ask Siri?
Yeah, hey Siri.
Hey Siri, how old is Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar is 42 years old.
Wow.
Hey!
Yeah. But anyway, let's parlay this into Roman Reigns for a second. Because, like,
okay.
So, like, Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns?
Roman Strange. Roman, I met him. Roman's the man. But, okay. Yep. Fuck. I've been talking about this forever. Does AJ Styles work as champion? Like, I know. See, AJ Styles is, I think, one of the guys that I have, like, some blinders. Like, you know, like, I just dig him.
He's one of your guys.
He's one of my guys. I would say Seth Rollins is also one of my guys. As of late, I find that he... You know what? Seth Rollins is disappointing because I feel like he's lost all personality. Like, his personality is like, here's the chick I date, and I like wrestling. And
I liked what he did with Street Profits this week.
Because they
lighter
said burn
side.
It down?
I thought you know, it was cute.
I liked it also because it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked when he was like on the Daily Show and doing the laugh and had a real personality, like the weasel angle.
The architect.
Yeah, the architect. But I can see it now.
Yeah. Burn it down, Rollins. He's good. You know, whatever. We're talking about it forever.
Though.
But like AJ, I don't think like AJ's is like particularly great for like business.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And they don't have any guys like Cena who are like great for biz.
No, AJ Styles is not like not great for business. I mean, he's great, but for business.
Yeah.
I think you're right because I don't. He's not really like out there, you know what I mean?
And,
like,
and we have listeners and people we talk to, our friends and stuff, who are like, yeah, he doesn't do it for me.
Yeah,
you know, like I hear that.
Sure, I mean, I'll say like my husband doesn't watch wrestling, right, but he really likes AJ Styles.
Yeah, I love AJ.
So I think it either clicks for you. Like it depends on what you're showing up for. You know what I mean? Like he's an amazing wrestler,
right,
but he's not like, you know, doing a lot of cool stuff outside of the ring. Usually.
Right. So it's like that Sean, it's that Sean zone.
The Sean zone.
Where if you watch, I mean, we don't even have a guy who I would consider Angle, like Kurt Angle level of greatness right now. You know, I guess I think AJ is. Like, AJ there. But we know that, I don't know. I guess maybe you could put them on the same level. This is hard. It's hard to know. I just, when you look at the star power, it's interesting because you're like, none of these guys are willing to look as douchey as John Cena to do this business properly.
Yeah. I mean, like Randy Orton kind of does.
He does. And that's the thing. It kind of works with Randy. Like there's something about Randy where like he carries himself in a way where you're always like, this guy is fucking major.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
This guy, man, like I, when I'm like, they show clips of him holding both titles, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then I'm just like, if I'm Vince, I'm like, this guy, I gotta put the titles back on this guy.
There's an authenticity to Randall as well. Like
Randall
I believe,
Keith.
Yeah, Randall Keith Orton. I believe he like is who he is.
Yeah.
You know, in the inside the mind of Randy Orton
right.
thing, outside the mind of Randy Orton.
So Kofi, we got a problem with Kofi Kingston though, which is they had this title run. The New Day gimmick is too goofy for a guy who's kicking ass like this.
Yeah.
That's like we need to see Kofi in a leather jacket. I'm going to say it over and over.
Wow.
Like we need to see Kofi like looking cool. And to be honest, Kofi is the first ever black WWE champion.
Yeah.
It's a big milestone.
Sure.
And I feel like he could. I feel like it's like, I don't know. I guess I'm not qualified to even make that call, but it's just kind of like, that can be more on display.
Right,
it still
right,
feels
right.
like the New Day.
Like he's one third of the New Day
right.
who is champion. I hear you.
I know, but they look, they're so cool. And like, you know,
well,
like
and everyone loves the New Day.
They're so funny. It really works.
Yeah.
I know why they hesitate to break them up, but I'm like, maybe they don't have to break them up. Maybe they just kind of, maybe it's like Kofi gets in a zone where he's like, guys, I gotta go there. Somebody pushes him to the limit where he's
right.
like, I gotta change a little bit.
Yeah.
And we see some, a little bit of less goofiness, though I don't want any middle fingers. I'm not exactly sure. I would love to hear Kofi. I mean, I think he's so much, truthfully, he's more talented than I ever gave him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
His championship run is, it's important.
Yeah, it feels
and
that way.
If he's gonna like beat Randy Orton, I want it to come from a place of like, he's like a bat. He's like can dig deep like
right.
that. Like
I mean, he's going to have to.
Big match Kofi.
He's
going
to have to beat Randy.
I think he's
going
to beat
and
Randy
And I think he's
also.
Going to.
Yeah.
It would be wild if he didn't, though.
Yeah, anyway.
Roman
so like
Reigns?
Roman Reigns. So Roman Reigns, it's like, he is the John Cena, right? And he has, to his credit, has effectively made other guys seem more important.
Uh-huh.
As like the guy, you know? Like if you beat Roman Reigns, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that like that's the John Cena thing, but he doesn't effectively have a message, and he has truly the best message of any wrestler, which is he's overcome leukemia two times.
Right, right, right.
You know, like he has like, and but then he's walking around with a fucking bulldog on his shirt.
I know.
It's wild.
Well, it's like he came back, like he went away and it was very sad
yeah.
and like very affecting for I think a lot of fans and people.
Right.
And then he came back and that was awesome. And then now I mean, I don't feel any differently towards him.
I'm not saying he needs to wear the ribbon.
Right, no, of course
not. He had the ribbon on his shirt for a while. I'm not saying like, oh, he should be doing that and he should be like selling that out.
He doesn't need to be like the cancer guy.
Right, yeah, the cancer guy. No, but it should be like, there should be some feeling of like, perseverance from him.
Perseverance.
He feels like an asshole who's like, yo, you messed with me, now I'm gonna kick your ass back.
I'm the big dog.
He doesn't have like, I'm like, you know, we're watching Cobra Kai, right?
I love Cobra Kai.
He feels like he has less of like a moral compass than like LaRusso.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't, like there's something that like check out Cobra Kai, by the way. It's pretty fun.
It's so fucking good, you guys.
On YouTube. The Daniel LaRusso, which is the Ralph Macchio character, who it's actually Ralph Macchio in real life, he is like very affected by his Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
And he like lives by this code.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns, I feel like, doesn't have a code like a John Cena. And if you want to be like the guy, you have to live by like a code. Like Stone Cold had a code he lived by.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of knew his game. You knew what his deal was and you knew why.
Stone Cold said so.
Yeah, like Walter White, you knew what his driving force was, right? Mm-hmm. It was like pride and providing his family at all costs.
Right.
Right? Walter White, my favorite wrestler, by the way. my favorite champion. He's the top champion.
Great gimmick.
That is a great gimmick.
Love that one.
A gimmick. Yeah.
Chemistry teacher turned
math
cook.
So I'm saying like maybe Roman Reigns feels uncomfortable being like, I don't want to be a survivor. I want to seem like strong or something.
Right, whatever.
Or I don't want that to define me. But it's really not about that. It's like about like, it's about when you're John Cena and you are that jacked for 25 years straight and you have that kind of work ethic, you're touring, you're doing, I mean, look, some people can argue his personal life hit the floor because of it, right?
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he didn't get married. He doesn't have kids or anything. Not that that matters. You don't define anyone like that. So some people could be like, well, I could do that if I, whatever.
But he's crushing it. Other than that element, he really blocked out
the negativity. People were really hard
he's a blocker.
To him. He is a blocker. Wow. The hits keep coming over there. Hey. Now, let's talk about another. So I think Roman, he stinks. He really stinks. He does stink. He stinks, and he's buried Drew McIntyre.
Time and time again.
Yeah. Two guys who are completely buried, not beyond repair. I don't think that exists, but is Drew McIntyre and Samoa Joe are deep in the well right now.
Samoa Joe, I really hope, gets out of the well.
Pass me one of the waters.
You got it.
Thank you. This won't be edited out, by the way. We don't have an editor right now.
We stay hydrated.
All right. Anyway, that's a fact. Take it. All right. Let's talk about Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
All right. So I had said on the podcast, I got to turn down the soundboard a little bit. I had said on the...
Turn it up.
Yeah. Crank it. but then it doesn't sound good in here. I had said on the podcast here that I'm not feeling it or whatever, you know?
Yeah, you weren't feeling the fiend.
Yeah. So I've come up to my final thing on this, which is...
Okay.
I'm really into the whole thing. I love it.
Okay, good.
But I don't like the fiend mask.
The mask is the deterrent.
I don't like the mask, and I don't really love the pants. I think the pants are like a little too goofy.
They're a little clowny.
I can't get over that they're not flattering for him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of like, oh, those are not like flattering pants because I look great at his midsection because of that.
The chinos that he wears in Firefly Funhouse, I think, do look good on him. He looks fantastic in the sweater.
I love his look in the Funhouse.
Yeah, me too.
And the Funhouse, how that correlates with the Fiend is very fun and I think successful coming off the videos where it's like he'll talk to you from those videos in like a fun state.
Mm-hmm.
But he's such a fucking good actor.
He's fantastic.
Like when he does the like let me in, like it's scary.
Yeah. We watched it. Mike and I watched that segment together in complete silence. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think he had seen any of the Firefly Funhouse before, but I told him about it.
Right.
And he was definitely like swept away by it. Like it's It's fantastic.
Oh, I was walking around my office today, like, just being like, let me in. Like, just like, it's so good.
Yeah.
I've also have an appreciation for horror films now.
I love horror movies.
Which I never dug growing up. Like, I didn't dig them. Like, I think in my mind, I was like, they're all like, kind of like, I put them as like trash in my head or something. Like,
yeah,
not like
I
trashy people saw them. It's just like, oh, you go if you just want to see murders.
Right, right, right.
Like, I didn't respect the genre. Mm. And now I have I think I was just wrong.
Yeah, I think you were wrong.
Because I've seen ones that are like that. I've seen horror films that, like, my wife's like, let's just go see that one. And, like, they're not ones that have any real buzz or anything. And I'm like, that was a great movie.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
What's an example?
The one that was Don't Breathe?
Oh, Don't Breathe is really good.
Like that one, one no one really talked about. At least I heard about it a little bit.
Right, right, right.
But that movie, I think, is like a good movie. It's shot real well. It's very cool.
With the blind dude.
The blind guy.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, that movie was really cool. I'm trying to think of another one. I mean, like, not like Midsommar. That doesn't count. But that's a great movie, though. Like Hereditary.
Hereditary, It Follows was another one.
Yeah, It Follows. These movies are like, they're not like, you know, that. Anyway. That's a derail. But like, now I want to go see Crawl. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I want to see Crawl. Is it a crocodile or an alligator?
I don't know.
That's a reptile.
I don't know. Did you see the Tarantino movie?
I did.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I really like true crime.
I just haven't heard anyone say they love it yet.
I loved it. I really like Helter Skelter is like one of my fave books.
Right.
And I love true crime. So the element of Sharon Tate and the Manson family, yeah, I really liked. And I'm a big Leo fan. Yes.
You know what? We'll save this for the bonus app.
Yeah.
We'll start the bonus app before we talk about New Japan. And we'll talk about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
And then we'll catch up on Handmaid's Tale.
But, yes.
By the way, I just want to shout out to Dolph Ziggler this week.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Dolph Ziggler, I thought, cut a great promo
on
SmackDown that I thought was really cool. I think
the backstage one to Kayla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also the thing that he's doing, props to the way they're writing Dolph Ziggler, which is they're like, they're also doing a thing where everything matters more. It's like he kicked Shawn Michaels and they're like, you disgusted the whole locker room.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, like this is an actual community, you know? Like they had that moment where the club were just like fighting the Usos and we're like, why is this happening? I don't know. Like these people just fucking fight each other.
Yeah,
like
they
fight in the back. I love it. I think, oh man, Raw was very fun. And you know what's funny? It's not like they reinvented anything. They did some minor tweaks.
It makes a big difference.
But they treat it, it's like I've said on here for a long time, okay? I'm a paid TV writer. So I've said
listen
this on
up,
here.
Folks.
Listen up, folks. Listen up, okay? Listen up loud.
Listen
clear.
With your ears.
Listen pure. Is treat it like a TV show, like WWE style, not AEW. They're framing it like a sports show.
It's different.
So it's different. If you were going for this thing that they're going for, which I'm not going to try to even define,
it's like a serialized show.
Yes, that it needs to feel like here. I watch it for the same reason I watch Game of Thrones, sounds crazy because it's such different shows.
Well, one of the things that drew me to wrestling, right, back to wrestling, was like the soapiness of it.
Right.
And you don't always get it.
You came for the soap, but you stayed for the
hot dudes.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Shake your hips. It's the muscle man there.
Wish I could. Oh, okay, cool. Oh,
yeah, you stayed for the hot dudes. Where are you at on the hot dudes in wrestling? When you watch wrestling,
okay.
We had a conversation about this. We were talking about Magic Mike, like the Vegas show.
Oh yeah, I saw it.
And my wife, like somebody, we were like shooting, and somebody asked her, like, when you saw it, like, are you actually turned on? You know?
No.
And then she was like, you know what? Like a little bit, like a little.
I could see it. I could see that.
So
yeah.
She said it's 99% funny.
Yeah.
And then 1% hot.
I had a very special experience at Magic Mike XXL. I got a dance, and I told the dancer that I loved him.
Right.
And I had never touched like abs before.
Oh, yes.
So it was a really big moment
Mike
in my life.
Abs.
No, not a six pack. This
Get it
was
together, Mike. Mess it up.
Yeah, no, he definitely doesn't. And he's also like covered in hair. And
this was
a hairless cast member of Magic Mike XXL, a beautiful black man. And he gave me a special dance and I touched his abs and I told him I loved him.
Yeah.
And so yes, I could see 1%.
Okay, great. So, but
I'm with Jamie.
when you're watching wrestling, what percentage is it like hot dudes? Like
50.
Like, all right. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, I'm high up there for the dudes, but I watch it. But like, there is an element where, cause I don't, you know, watch it for any kind of like sexual reasons but it is like, I'll find myself sometimes. You have a primal moment.
Like
Alexa Bliss will be on screen. It's not swampy, but you're just like, oh, what an attractive lady.
I had the same reaction to Alexa Bliss this week too. Right. I was like, damn, she looks fine as hell. Her butt, and I was like, oh, that's why all these swampy assholes. Yeah, I get it.
It's the things that I've noticed that Alexa's in way better. Like she's always in great shape.
Yeah,
but she's in like superb shape right now.
Yeah, she really is.
And you're like, wow, I don't think that this affects me turning the show on or anything, but you're like, it probably does. Like,
it's a bonus.
In like a subconscious way, like in the same way
primal.
That like if they put like babes in a beer commercial, I might drink the beer.
Right.
Like when I'm in there, I'm like, and twins? And then I'll buy the twins beer or whatever.
Right.
not in a way I would know, but it's like, oh, well, this is how your brain works, subliminal. So like the fact that I even recognize like, oh, she's in better shape. Does that affect my how much I like the product?
The product as a whole? I don't think so.
No.
I think it's like it's cool.
But maybe the segment?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I'm very into like, how does my brain work in the ways that I don't think? Because I'm like, I'm focused on the story. I'm not going to be caught up in these traps. But am I getting caught? I am just a man.
I think that the primitive man part of your brain like does like light up when like Alexa Bliss is in a match. In a way that it doesn't when, you know, if it was like an ugly troll creature, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Because it was like, I was scrolling.
But you would probably still watch either way.
Yeah, because like even as a kid, maybe as a kid, like the Sable, I'm talking about the Sable stuff.
Sure.
I wasn't watching for the Sable stuff, but I was like, oh, nice boobs.
I think that it's like a formative thing too.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
If you're a preteen boy and you're watching wrestling, even if you're not thinking like, oh, I love these chicks, they are being like implanted in your brain as like what hot chicks look like.
But I think it's more like, I think this is actually, I had to explain this. I was on a podcast called, what's it called? You Made It Worse, I think it's called. Yeah. And it's like three gay dudes, Elliot Glazer, and Alan Scott and Brent Sullivan. And they were asking me about like why I like wrestling. And they're like, they're gay guys. So, two of them were kind of like, so you got to explain to me, like, is there anything homoerotic about the fact that you watch wrestling? And I'm like,
the erotic part. I don't know.
I don't think so. I was like, well, here's why I'm into it. It's like, I'm very into guys. I'm more into the guys' bodies than the women's bodies.
Because you're there for the physique.
But I'm more like, I can't believe this is another man.
You're the same species as this guy. Yeah.
I'm like, yo, this guy, I'm like, it's cool. This guy, like, push himself to be like that and he's stronger.
Right.
And it's like, oh shit, look at this guy. Nice. And it's hard to explain that without, I know they're all like, this guy's a closet gay.
Right. They just don't understand.
It's a very interesting, I think that is a thing that a lot of people don't understand is the guy's obsession with the straight man's obsession with the other guy's bodies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like a real deep interest in like, how does your body look like that?
Yeah.
And like an admiration for someone
Absolutely.
Like Matt Riddle or even Dolph Ziggler.
I don't know if this is true, but like women have a thing with, I don't know. I'm just generalizing. So this is dangerous, but it's like a woman's like, oh, I want her body or whatever. Something like that.
I think I find like the female wrestlers aspirational in the same way that maybe you find the male wrestlers.
I think it's
like,
the same thing. It's the same exact attitude.
Yeah.
It's just with the veneer of like, fuck yeah, over like, oh, fuck yeah. Like,
yeah.
Or whatever. It's just like, I'm like, all right, that's so sick. And then I definitely feel like, oh, I wish my body was that. That's why I work out hard. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're inspiring. Like, yeah. I think it makes you, for me, it makes me like want to do better. Because like when I see Charlotte, she's like 5'10 and like perfect and great.
Right.
And her teeth are so white.
Right.
I'm like, well, you know, if I'm working out or like on a strenuous hike or like thinking, should I use white strips tonight or not? Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Charlotte does it and you look up to her.
Yeah.
So you can do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also am inspired by the people who are not in great shape. Like when I was watching like Ishii or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
not
yeah.
that he's in bad shape, but I'm like, this guy's so over and doesn't have the physique. Like, it's like, oh, I overemphasize like body's importance for the general populace. And I think that's kind of beautiful. You know what I mean? Like,
great.
That I'm like, oh, I'm caught up in these bodies, but not everyone else is. And so it means I'm wrong about, or like, oh, I'm being too judgy of that or something.
Well, I think maybe you're like somewhere in the middle because you're like, oh, you know, like these are hot jack dudes.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I could like maybe be like that. But then it's also, we'll look at Kevin Owens or Ishii, who are like very successful and great at this and not perfectly jacked.
So it, like what, I was watching the Hobbs and Shaw trailer.
Fuck yeah.
You know, I don't care about it at all.
You say you don't.
I'm going to see it.
We're
going to see it. Don't worry. I'm going to see it. And you're probably gonna have to see it before I can see it. But,
yeah.
Cause you're going to just want to see it.
I'll wait.
But, but when I'm watching Roman next to Rock,
Dwayne Johnson,
I'm like, yo, Roman, get it together, bro.
Come on, bro. You're like, judging Roman.
I'm like, yo, man. And it's so fucked up. The guy, like, just had leukemia. But
yeah.
I'm just like, yo, you going to let The Rock make you look like that? Like,
I know.
They're the same size.
Yeah.
One guy's just out of his mind. Like The Rock.
Yeah. The Rock is, like, an exception. Like, you can't.
See his ex-wife?
Rock's ex-wife.
The Rock's ex-wife is like a bodybuilder, but also runs $7 from whatever production company with
him. No, I don't know this. Oh, yeah. They work together. Uh-huh.
His ex-wife, and they have their daughter together, who's apparently training.
Bitchin'.
Yeah.
That's
big. So I'm already a fan of hers, by the way.
Oh, I love that. That's great news.
But his ex-wife is like a bodybuilder.
Dope.
Like jacked.
Uh-huh.
And she like competes.
Uh-huh.
So he's been posting videos of her like competition videos.
Cool.
And they're cool because they like run a conglomerate. Like they run it together.
Yeah.
They have a daughter, but they get along. And then her new husband, is The Rock's trainer.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dope.
And I think it's cool because it's like, all right. Come on.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing. Everyone gets
along.
They got
a daughter. Like, yeah, whatever. It's all good.
Yeah, I think like
they got so much money to spare that who cares? The reason people fight mainly is money.
Right. Relationships. Yeah. When you have like money to burn.
Here's like 58 million. Like, let's get along.
What do we have to be upset about?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
We got this beautiful daughter. Like, what are we mad about?
We're both jacked.
We both live like our independent lives. And
yeah. Well, I think like for some people, not being married is a great situation. So it seems to work for them.
Absolutely. Anyway, Ziggler did a great job, I thought.
I really like his new t-shirt, by the way. The pink one.
I didn't see it.
Someone in the group had it. It's like two like cartoon people like looking at a newspaper or something that said like, should have been me.
Oh, I didn't see it. How did I miss that?
I don't know.
I want the jacket. Anytime Ziggler rocks, like he comes out in gear,
I go,
can I get that?
I liked his pants.
And he says sometimes he will give it to me, but then never does. And also, I think he's fucking with me. But the blue pants were dope.
Toying with your emotions.
Some people say Ziggler's gear is shitty.
Mm-mm.
In the group.
Is that true?
Are you nuts?
His gear is always different and always cool.
It's always different. He's one of the only guys where you think about his gear.
Yeah.
You're like, what's he going to come out in?
Yeah.
And like he has his gear is like very, I don't know, his gear is dope. He's is it a fucking gift? I don't know. Give Ziggler a title run.
Yes, please.
Ziggler
biased programming.
Yeah, Ziggler's
biased
programming. Anyway, I just love Dolph Ziggler. I understand why they kept the ball on Kofi, though. Let's talk about the Maria pregnant thing.
Oh, pregnant champion. Yeah. Pregnant champion.
This, I thought, was pretty funny.
It was wild.
I was into this. Were people not into this? What was the general consensus on this?
I think people liked it.
It's such a funny... I feel like the 24/7 title, it's a really funny idea. Like, no one's going to attack a pregnant woman.
No.
And then... I love that she's like out of control.
She's a straight up maniac. Yeah.
She told her husband, part of me believes that she doesn't treat him right.
IRL.
Yeah, because she snaps into it so easily. It
comes very naturally.
She literally said that he has a vagina.
Yeah. And then she also talked about having her feet up in the stirrups at the gynecologist with the 24/7 title. She takes it to the gyno appointment.
I'm such a dumb man that I thought, I was like, yo, this is cool. But I could see somebody having a problem with it.
Her personality is definitely like abrasive. Mm-hmm. So I could see that being a problem, but it's pretty funny.
But aren't you kind of like the 24/7 title, which for a while was just like, oh, you just pin somebody. They found a way. It's the comedy title.
Right.
I love it. It's like, it's the comedy title.
Right.
They're like, all right, it's a funny heightened beat that no one knows how to pin a pregnant woman. Like, that is really smart.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to take the title off of her.
I think they gave her a fake baby bump.
Oh, really?
Because I feel like she didn't have a bump that big. Like, it grew very
probably
fast.
Probably fake.
Yeah.
Padded.
This is very smart. yeah, cool. What else did I mean, that, you know, I liked it. I'm interested to see people. I don't know what there is to not like about it. Oh, we're talking about Bray Wyatt for a second.
Sure.
I was just talking about it, but I want to say, like, where do we go with Bray here? Like, this Fiend thing. Do we have it that Bray is only seen as the Fiend?
Like, he's only coming to the ring as the Fiend? Yeah, like,
whenever you see him in real life, he's the Fiend?
Right, I really don't know. I guess all will be revealed at SummerSlam. I don't know how, like, is the mask going to stay on the whole time? Will he ever appear in person, like, in his sweater and his khakis?
Are we into this SummerSlam card?
It's very Canadian.
I know Natty on there, and they're trying to make
Trish.
Becky a little heel to get the crowd going.
Yeah, exactly. Trish Stratus for Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, I forgot she's a Canadian. I just thought they were...
Yeah, and...
Whoa, time to rock and roll. I think she has the worst song. I've always thought that song sucked. It's like, whoa, you gotta rock and roll. I hate that song.
And then Kevin Owens has a match
against Shane McMahon, and he has to quit.
He's
going to lose.
KO's going to lose?
Yeah, because then they're going to have him quit, and they're going to pull the Stone Cold. Like, he's going to show up in trucks and shit.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm here for that.
They still need more structure.
More structure,
WWE
yeah.
WWE just still needs, like, more... I need to know how much money they're getting. They need to talk about money.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more because, like, the New Day and the Club, like, they all have the titles. But, like, it's hard to think about AJ has the U.S. title. A second ago, he had the other title. He likes this one as much as the other one.
He's equally as excited.
Yeah. Like, it's just a little bit like if you have a belt, it's just like another... they're accessories.
Right, right, right.
It's...
There's no, like, gravitas.
And it's not just WWE. Titles. I was watching New Japan. These guys are walking around with titles no one cares about.
You know, Ospreay had, like, the tiniest title belt.
That one's the...
Belt, sorry.
Is
title.
The light? That's the junior, this junior one.
Yeah, it's very small.
It's just a smaller version of the heavyweight one. That one doesn't look great, but the heavyweight belt looks great.
When it's big, yeah, but the little one looks like...
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
No.
Yeah, it looks like a replica title. That one I'm not
from
into.
Toys R Us.
But then, like, the U.S. title, that one that, like, Moxley has, it's like... I was thinking about... Well, you know what? Let's save this for the bonus episode.
Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling.
I want to talk about New Japan. I'm done with WWE right now. We're going to end this up right now, and you're going to catch us on the Patreon. We're going
to
talk about...
You have to come to Patreon.
So I want to talk about New Japan. I have some thoughts on that.
And Handmaid's Tale.
And we're going to start talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Please.
We're going to talk quickly about Handmaid's Tale, and then we're going to talk about New Japan, and we're going to end the G1 a little bit.
Yeah.
And and going forward on this pod, you know, when we hit We're going to figure it out. But just know, like, if you're feeling overwhelmed, and this is based on how I feel, is that I feel like a big reason people are kind of dipping out watching wrestling is it's becoming the abundance. I think sometimes when there's too much, people get overwhelmed and that's it. Like, I'll equate this to Magic the Gathering, like I always
Please do.
So they printed these like promo cards for a little bit, and they were like in each pack. And they were like really rare. They're called Expedition Lands. Okay.
Expedition.
I know some listeners are getting hard boners for what I'm talking about.
I mean, it's great.
Turning this off. But no, I'm saying, but the cool
Fuck
thing,
magic.
But one great thing about Magic Gathering, why I apply metaphors about Magic Gathering and wrestling to my lives always is like, so Magic Gathering has a collectible element to it and has like, it has rarity, right?
Right.
And rarity affects your brain motivation, right?
Oh,
like,
sure.
And like
yeah.
your collect, right? It makes you want.
It puts like a real value on something.
On a show, right? Yeah. And you're like, oh my God. Magic is very good at being like, there's value on stuff. There's a limited window to get it when the value is low and you know it's going to go up.
Yeah.
And then you can sell it. So there's a collectible element as well as the game.
Yeah.
Right? So what I was saying is that they put these cards and then there's supply demand economics, right? They put these cards in, they're like rare. And like when they first did it, they're like, we're doing it just for this set. And I was like, you know what? And I spent a long time trying to get all of them. And I was like, I got them. and I didn't get all of them, but I got a lot of them. And I spent a lot of time trading into them. And it was my mission. And then that was such a success for them that they announced, because they were so popular, sales for the game were way up.
Right.
They announced, we're going to do that for every set. And then I gave up.
Right.
I just go, I can't do that effort I put in there to get these rare things was a special effort that I can't give you guys all year round.
Right.
I'm like, I just have to accept the fact that I won't get all these cards. And then there's a thing when you overwhelm people where they give up and then they don't want any of it.
I know.
And that's what's going on, I think, with professional wrestling.
I think that's a perfect metaphor, actually. Yeah.
When it was like, yo, I'll watch Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
And that's like that. But then now you're going to tell me, oh shit, I got to watch Double or Nothing. Oh, it's going to be every week. Oh, and also the G1. And then also, what am I going to just dip out on WWE? Like, that is still the mecca of wrestling.
Right.
You know, that's where we had the Hulk Hogan run, the DX run. That's where we have Stone Cold, The Rock. Like, that is still the foundation. Nothing has changed there, really, truthfully. They still have the best wrestlers in the world. They still have the best roster in the world.
Yeah.
I would argue that.
They're a superpower.
Right. Is their talent utilized the best? That's an argument. If you look at Moxley, which we'll talk about on the bonus ep.
On Patreon.
But I think, so what I'm saying is that my goal for me, not just the podcast, is me. I'm feeling like, fuck, how am I going to watch all this? I bring it up every week. And I watch a lot of wrestling, even when I'm busy.
Yeah, and even in like lull times, you're there watching.
So I'm like, this pod, I want it to be, I'm going to try. So it's like, yo, if you listen to this podcast, you'll know enough you'll know enough.
Right.
We're not going to be like hard recap this and that, but it's like, here's what you had to know.
Right. Well, I think, you know, if you are someone who's like overwhelmed by the volume of wrestling every week, maybe you can listen to this show to hear what you need to be watching and like what's coming up and what's important. Hopefully.
That's right.
Which means we have to watch it all.
Yeah, well.
But you would probably do that
anyway. Or we got to do more eps. Well, you know, we'll figure it out. Anyway, we're going to go to the Patreon, though, because I want to talk about New Japan.
We're
going to be talking about the three matches we're going to be talking about is Ishii versus Moxley.
Yeah.
From, I believe, July 19th, G1. Then we're going to be talking Moxley versus who?
Naito.
Naito.
That was the third one. The most recent.
And then that just happened. And then we're going to be talking about Moxley.
No,
just kidding.
Okada Ospreay
versus Will Ospreay. Which.
We're getting fucked up on the names here, people.
What a match.
That was. Yeah.
What
we'll
a match.
We'll save it for the Patreon.
What a fucking match. Anyway, more on the Patreon. Okay, so anyway, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Support the podcast and keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.